Come on. Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
You cut somebody off and they're like real mad and you're like,
you're doing real good, bucko.
You know what my wife does?
Peace sign.
A peace sign. Wow, that's so passive aggressive. I love it.
And then shows a peace.
Like, all right, we're choosing violence today. Dave and Mahoney. There's about 4,000 boxes got packed.
Chris was slacking on his beans.
We're like, dude. I was pulling cans from my left hand and Dave's to my left. And him and I touched hands like every 5 seconds.
The sexual tension was frost, bro.
That's why you kept missing the bean?
That's why I kept missing the bean.
It's very typical of a man to forget where a bean is.
Dave and Mahoney.
So I'm listening to your guys' show, and you're going on about things in the ocean that were just discovered and what looks like a killer dildo, and I think I found a name that the scientists really need to consider, and that is the Kildo.
That is not how I want to go, my friend.
It is how I want to go.
Different strokes.
All right.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Thursday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney? Dave, why don't we start off today's show
with some bad news.
Yeah, some bad news. Can we just stop this nonsense? Audrey, maybe you're going to disagree with me on this, but a 59-year-old woman from Alberta has broke the Guinness World Record for holding a plank the longest. Didn't you just say that you got the ganglion cyst on your wrist from doing planks, perhaps, at the gym?
Suspectedly, allegedly.
How long can you do a plank for?
Definitely under 2 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, 2 minutes of planking is it's unbelievable how slow time moves when you're planking.
Does that mean that wiener dogs are the strongest animal in the world because they are constantly planking?
Lots of core strength.
Yeah, never thought about that. This woman, again, 59 years old. This is impressive. 4 hours, 30 minutes, and 11 seconds.
I want to know what her body looks like.
I mean, kind of normal. I mean, she's obviously fit. She's in great shape. But the fact that, like, she doesn't actually just look like a literal 2x4 is unbelievable. She said she encourages others to pursue their passions and practice diligently to improve and help others around them. All that stuff is great.
But she's a yoga girl.
Can we just stop with all of the, I'm going to set the world record for planking. Yes, you're impressive. But honestly, if you can do it for 3 minutes, that's super impressive too. You don't have to do it for 4.5 hours.
No, you know the people, this is not as annoying to me as the people who do the burpees.
Ugh.
The burpee people are so unbelievably annoying.
All of us right now can close our eyes and probably envision the exact same burpee person. You know, they have that like headband thing.
Yes. 100%
their sleeves cut off their shirt.
That's it's always gray.
It's always gray.
Maybe red shorts.
Yeah.
This is for the dudes. Also, like when you blow out your ACL doing burpees, no sympathy. Zero sympathy being given your way.
Some good news today as well. Aerosmith has rescheduled their dates for their Peace Out tour. You know, obviously, Steven Tyler had that issue with the vocal injury, so they had to postpone a whole bunch of stuff. But the tour is going to kick off on September 20th in Pittsburgh and run through September 26th of 2025 in Buffalo. The Black Crow is going to be support on that. So if you're going to go out with a bang, I mean, go see Aerosmith one last time. Black Crow's in support. That's a pretty good show.
Steven Tyler's stupid-ass little dog peeing all over the place.
That
dog's probably dead by now, y'all.
I mean, probably. That was
8 years ago. That dog may still be alive.
It's one of those little dogs.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, he's very free. He's just willing to pee wherever he wanted to.
Well, look at his father.
he did have a little scarf on.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Oh, my God. With these people, shut up.
Dave and Mahoney.
I don't know if it's just because the people that we hang out with aren't really that sympathetic all of the time, but boy, I have never seen a reaction to somebody dying met with so much glee from people. And I mean, understandably so. I think the vast majority of people think that O.J. Simpson got away with one and is actually a murderer. And so when he dies, there's not this outpouring of sympathy that you would get when somebody normally just passes.
Right. You know, you don't dance on somebody's grave who's a good person. But OJ is a murderer. He was proven to be so in a court trial. And then all the other garbage that he did. Like, again, I have empathy.
Confused. You're talking about the civil trial is where he was convicted.
I have empathy for his family, but I have more sympathy for the families of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, you know? So it's like, bye. Glad to see you go.
So Kyle in the chat said, or excuse me, Ogre did, if he's cremated, would they just turn his urn into a bottle of OJ? Drudge Report put a headline out that said, cancer murders OJ Simpson. Brittany in our chat said, RIP OJK. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, man. Just good riddance.
I mean, 76 years old.
He looked great. And I'll say that. I had no idea that he was sick. I really did not have any idea because, you know, he still pops up on anytime I would pull up Twitter. You know, there's always OJ with a hot take on something that is so off base.
So,
but
I
it's
mean,
still getting pushed.
I've got a question for you guys because I am not, I was young. I was, you know, I was born in 91. So I don't really know the, you know, the athlete OJ Simpson. I just know the scandal OJ Simpson. Behind us, this TV is on ESPN, and they're just, like, rolling out all of the immemorial highlights of his, you know, athleticism.
It's kind of gross.
Which is kind of gross, right? So, yeah. But do you think that there's, like, a place for that? Like, do, because I know that there was separating art from artists whenever we're looking, like, Michael Jackson and, you know, or, like, any of these other people who had, like, massive scandals attached to them.
But when Bill Cosby dies, I don't want to see all the highlights of all the amazing stuff he did because he's a rapist.
Yeah, do you think that that will, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like in instances like this, people do that.
I'm actually just surprised. But, I mean, you can't take anything away from him. You know, he was one of the greatest football players of all time.
Right.
Over 11,000 rushing yards. I mean, 2,100 receiving yards. 990 kick return yards in his career.
But the thing about OJ that really was remarkable is that he was arguably the first athlete to break through like he did. So to see that, we've seen that the transition now with a lot of athletes where, you know, they become movie stars, but he was kind of that first one that went
away for like The Rock and John Cena and guys of that nature.
And that's what was unbelievable is he had the world in front of him.
I loved, like, as a kid.
He was so wound up about his ex-wife hooking up with a server from some bar in Los Angeles that he went on a murdering spree.
I was too young to watch OJ, like, you know, meaningfully play. But I knew him from all the Naked Gun movies,
yes,
and I loved him in the Naked Gun movies. So when everything came to light, man, it bummed me out. It was a guy who I really enjoyed, and that's why I feel like one of those things, it's like you had the world and you destroyed it while destroying two other people's and family's lives. That's why it's like, see you never, bro.
I mean, Dad did have a good point, though. OJ can finally rest knowing that his wife's killer is gone. Ah.
Still leave voicemails?
Hello?
Then this segment is for you.
Call anytime at 833-YO-DUMMY
and leave a
message. Please leave a message after the tone.
What bothers me about tipping a percentage is you get double whammied. The tip goes up because the food went up. But if you're tipping 20%, then that went up twice, and then you get triple whammied when they give you smaller portions.
Message
tipping culture is out of control in the U.S., but we are at the mercy of it because if you are not a piece of garbage, you understand that people working in the service industry are working for tips.
Right. And they're also going through inflation as well.
And they are working very hard.
Yeah.
Like the service industry. But don't get me wrong. If I have to pick up my food, bust my own table, and all you do is flip a thing around, like that's not a 20% tip to me.
The thing, though, is that these workers are stuck depending on wages, even though all of the costs have gone up so much for the consumer that they're getting squeezed in the middle, which sucks for them because even though everything costs so much more, and I get the cost of goods and everything else have gone up, but even though all that cost has gone up, it's not like they're passing all that along to the people that are working there. And so people, I know that I'm certainly less apt to tip if I already feel like I'm kind of getting ripped off. Mm-hmm. Like if I go through a fast food place, I went to McDonald's the other day, and I mean, granted, I've got four kids, so poor me, but it was like $75 for a couple of Happy Meals and a couple of Big Mac meals.
Dude, you know what I think it's a 16 piece or 12 piece, whatever the largest KFC value meal that they have.
Yeah, how much is it?
$51.
$51? Like, just go to a steakhouse at that point.
Like, it's just, I mean, for me, I will say, I am speaking with my dollars because we were just talking about this. The price of inflation since 2014 over the last 10 years, about 31%. Prices at McDonald's, their prices are up 100% over 10 years ago. And I'm just like, it's just not worth the money to
and
me.
And the quality of the food just not
there. Spend that when I can go buy literally a filet at the grocery store and cook it in 10 minutes. Like, for me, it's like, that is forcing me. Like, I never thought there would be a day where I would shun fast food. But the prices are making me go, I could buy something better.
Here we were, Audrey, thinking this was a perfect relationship with Mahoney and fast food. Turns out, There's some cracks in the armor.
The crown is faltering.
Indeed.
I feel like the only thing that's like still a halfway good value is if you go to like your local like Mexican place like and you get a burrito. Like that feels like get a whole ass meal. Like I get a bean and cheese burrito, $3.50. But and I'm full.
You have to go in because if you get it delivered by Uber Eats, it's $80.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, guys. You were talking about style. I think it just comes down to a simple case of what's old is new again.
Message deleted. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that some of the stuff has circled back, though, if you will, is a little bit surprising. I mean, we were talking about JNCO jeans and how those are making a comeback, but even the hairstyles. I mean, I didn't think, because it became so faux pas during our lifetime, Mahoney, that we would see the mullet come back, and I'd actually be like, that looks pretty cool.
In an unironic way.
Right.
And like, mustache but
it does
pairing.
Does look good, though. It's like their mullets, the new mullets, don't look like our mullets.
Because I feel
like
the mullets that y'all were cutting back in the day were with kitchen scissors.
That's true.
You know, like there are now stylists who have gone to school to figure out the art of mullet.
We just don't have the volume, Mahoney. That's the problem. Like, our little mullets were just like straight Ratty Joe dirt mullets.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, you got these baseball players with these beautiful feathered hair.
They went to the salon to go get it done.
Are there, when it comes down to pound for pound, the best hair of any professional sport, it's got to be baseball, right?
Baseball's pretty up there.
Yeah, because football, I feel like it's a nuisance. Like, there's some guys that really try.
Tennis in the 70s gave it a run. Yeah. I mean, like, the McEnroe mullet, the Andre Agassi in the 80s, Pete Sampras when he had a mullet. I mean, like, the Maria Navratilova mullet. But I will say, right now, I don't think we've ever lived in a better time for hairstyles than with current baseball players.
I think baseball players can kind of bring anything they want back, you know, because baseball players, a lot of times, fairly bored. They're just standing in the outfield, waiting for maybe a ball to come, just looking at everyone else's hair. Oh, no, I should do that.
Lots of time to fantasize about trends.
Yeah. Everyone's looking good in those little see-through pants that everyone's so mad about this season.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hi. I was just wondering if you've ever been so mad you wish you knew a hitman in Europe.
Message deleted.
A hitman in Europe?
I mean, I would like to know a hitman in Europe just to like having the Rolodex, you know? I mean, I've never needed one. I don't know. I might, though.
I've never been so mad that I've thought murder.
No?
No. See, Mahoney is the wild card here.
I was going to do it myself. Not like a hitman.
Yeah.
Nah, man. There's
somebody ate his lunch out of the work fridge one time, and you should have seen him.
Dave and Mahoney. Glitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, we share a love for some of the same comedians, and one of the comedians that we are both a big fan of currently, Tom Segura. I mean, as far as a comedy special that every single one of his that I've watched has been hilarious. I mean, just observational comedy, but not a gimmick that comes along with it. Like, Tom Segura is just a great storyteller.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I can't go back to the old way of watching comics who are just doing, like, rapid-fire jokes. Or, you know, I like the stuff that is interwoven and told the way that modern-day comics are, and Tom Segura is an absolute master at doing that.
So the 44-year-old comedian shared the news on his social media this week, expressing his excitement for the opportunity. He has landed a new dark comedy series at Netflix that he will both star in and produce. And this has kind of become a thing. I mean, Netflix, to their credit, I mean, for a while there, they were kind of being bagged on as, you know, the dumping ground for other streaming services. They didn't have really any good original shows. Their sports programming, they have done a very, very good job at. And then their comedy specials have been arguably the best
Netflix
in the business.
Netflix is the place for comedy now. They have taken HBO's place. HBO used to be the end-all, be-all of the 30-minute or the hour special.
If you had an HBO special, you were a king.
It is not anymore. You know, I mean, I regularly look on HBO for new comedy specials, and the people that they're bringing out are fine, but they're not the superstars. Netflix is making comedians superstars, and I think that's because Dave Chappelle in particular has kind of planted that flag of like, it's okay for comedy to ruffle your feathers in a way, shape, or form. So it's kind of a safer spot for a lot of comedians or the best comedians out there. And we've seen just absolute superstars come from Netflix. And the fact that they're going to do a series, a dark series with Tom, I think this is going to be huge.
Well, and we talked about Shane Gillis. Shane Gillis is another one of those guys that had some problems. People had tried to cancel him and all of that stuff. And then his Netflix special was enormous.
Best
and then,
one of 2023. The best in the last 5 years, I think.
And then they doubled down, and they also are giving Shane Gillis his own scripted series. And I like the expansion. I mean, you've got these guys that have built these huge followings. And, I mean, I follow Tom Segura on social media. I see him touring around the country and doing these sold-out arenas every single night. I mean, right. They're, you know, basketball stadiums that are full of people to see a single person do comedy. That's wild.
I mean, there's only a handful of people on the planet who can do that, and the fact that he's going to expand, you know, his entertainment kind of empire, you know, the fact that he owns, you know, his podcast studios with Your Mom's House, does a lot of really successful podcasts.
Two Bears, One
Kid,
the
stand-up specials. On top of that, he's written his book and now expanding into scripted series. I mean, this is the time for a guy like Tom Segura.
So they're talking about a Blair Witch reboot.
And oh, God, like, no.
Oh, why?
I thought we already rebooted it.
So it's Lionsgate and Blumhouse, though, and Blumhouse tends to do things pretty well.
But
I just don't think that there's really anything else out there as far as horror that has really hit except for Scream. I mean, if you really seriously think about all of the things that are getting remade, it's all of the 2000s movies. Like I just said, Scream. So, and we just saw It not that long ago. There's just not that much creativeness in horror films at the moment. We just saw Saw come out last year with their 100th movie.
Audrey, how dare you forget about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
Oh,
tell me you're saying there's no creativity.
It is also piggybacking off of an already made idea. But yeah, so I don't dislike this. I'm just not into the paranormal movies myself.
I feel like the original Blair Witch had such a special magic to it because
I thought it was real my whole life.
Well, that's the thing is like it was the last thing through the gate, really, because it came out in 1999 before all of us had a smartphone in our hand, where the wives' tale was that this was a real movie and everyone thought that it actually was footage that they had found on some camcorder in the woods. And because that rumor spread like wildfire and there was no internet to fact check us, but now it's like, you can't pull that same stunt and rebooting it. It just doesn't feel like it's going to have the same magic as the original.
It's not going to have the same
impact.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, I think that also the scarier the movie, the younger I was. So maybe it's just not, and, you know, I'm not really pining to go and see anything that is ghost-related, period.
So this just needs to be targeted towards kids then, basically.
Teens.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you think that horror movies are for, like, teens?
I think so.
This is David Mahoney.
I understand that a lot of people have this love-hate relationship with Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, and I'm kind of one of those people. Like, half the things that he does, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's, like, fun to live vicariously through him. He's got all this money. He's kind of, you know, he's taking the company back, if you will, after they got pushed out by Penn and all that stuff. But, I mean, it seems like Barstool's back to doing what Barstool does. And the other half the time, I'm like, you're kind of an annoying douche. But, Audrey, you've talked a lot recently about how Peaches, his dog, very specifically.
Miss, you better put that Miss on there.
Miss Peaches, excuse me.
Not just Peaches.
Is she the most famous dog in America now?
Oh, 100%.
But he's playing to the right audience with people like you with Miss Peaches. And then simultaneously, Mahoney, his gambling habits, if I had that kind of money, I would probably be doing what he is doing. He just won a ton of money, $1.3 million in profit off of a $2.16 million win on UConn, repeating as the national champs.
Yeah, he threw $600,000 on them to back in March, back in early March for them to win.
How about this, though? He is getting involved with the Masters. He said that he thinks that Scottie Scheffler at plus 450 is good enough for him to put down a $300,000 bet.
Ooh,
on.
Ooh, all right. Money don't make money.
As a golf fan and as somebody that has bet on golf quite a bit, Mahoney, you actually very successfully used to bet on golf. It's tough. I mean, it really is because so much can go wrong. Players can get hot and they can get cold and they can have an on day or off day, especially when you're dealing with weather like the Masters has been. So $300,000 on a single golfer. I mean, them winning the Masters at plus 450, obviously Scheffler, that's pretty short odds, all things considered, because you had the numbers up for Tiger Woods the other day, and you said it was +15,000?
It was +15,000 when I looked at it last. Let me see if I can find it.
And you were such a donkey, you're like, I'm going to put some money on that?
I mean, yeah, I'll throw $100 plus 15,000 for the guy who's won the second most you know, majors of any professional golfer and
won 40 years ago.
Well, but also won, he also won the Masters. It was the last major he won. I think it was in 2019 or 2018.
2018, I think.
So,
yeah.
You know, in the last decade, so.
But still, man, I mean, a lot can happen.
I have spent $100 in so many worse ways. And you know what? I'm trying to find it right now, but
I mean, I don't imagine that his odds have changed a lot in the past 24 hours. But if you want to, you know, roll with Tiger Woods at plus 15,000, sure. Dave Portnoy says I think the smart money is on Scottie Scheffler, and $300,000 is his bet. So he is putting his money where his mouth is.
Phil Mickelson a little bit higher than Tiger, Dave. Plus 30,000.
Plus 30,000 for old, okay.
Old Phil Mickelson right there. Justin Rose, plus 17,000.
Yeah, I don't know if you really want to go like digging for the one that has the best odds if you bet just $100 on it.
I mean, and Tiger's still holding at that plus 15,000.
Okay.
You know, Justin Rose at plus 17,000. I'll throw 100 on that too.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
You know the songs, but can you name them when they sound this bad? It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Tammy is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. How you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing great. How are you guys on this Friday Eve?
We are doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. You got 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these. A couple of lifelines if necessary. Just let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. Like I said, a lot of these very, very popular today. In fact, this first one, 485,000 views. Al Green is doing the cover.
Oh,
really? The Al Green. Okay. So let's have a listen. Yeah, man.
Better than the original, dude.
Wow. I have literally never heard that cover by Al Green.
That is
solid. I got to find it right now and download it. I mean,
solid.
That, I mean, come for me if you want.
I thought we were supposed to do bad covers.
That was bomb.
Tammy, over to you.
The Beatles, I Want to Hold Your Hand.
That is right. Well done.
Wow.
How many views did that have? 485,000, which is actually less than I would imagine.
Not enough.
Right?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, you can download it. Oh, what a treat. I can't wait to have the windows down later, listening to that song. Whoa.
All right, here we go on to number two. 139,000 views on this one. So this is actually the least popular one of the day at 139,000. Mm-hmm. This is from the Melodica Bros, so buckle up.
You can get yourself clean. You can have a good meal. Are you listening to me? I said, young man, what do you want to be? I said, young man, you can make real your dreams, but you got to know this one thing. No man does it all by himself. I said, young man.
Again, don't hate it. 139,000 views. Tammy, do you know it?
Oh, crap. I have it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't spit it out. I think I need a lifeline.
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah, that's YMCA from the Village
People. It is.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. I had to take my headphones off to kind of sing the lyrics to myself, and I was like, certainly we didn't put the YMCA in.
Hell yeah, we did.
Hell yeah, we did.
But we did.
Yeah. I'm looking over at Chris for the logic on that. And
why not?
Good choice, my man.
I thought
good choice.
They crushed it. Yeah. I thought that sounded really cool.
Put the YMCA in there, sure. Yeah.
Why not? All right, so Tammy, you can win it right here, but I'm going to take your lifelines away because you have 2 points, so you got to get a full point on one of these next two, or a half point and a half point. Either way is fine. The next one here is from The Muppets.
Hell yes.
Oh,
1.3 million views. Here we go.
Wait a minute. What are you doing?
With the lights out. Here we are now. Entertain us.
You're ruining one of the greatest songs of all time.
Here we are now. Entertain us.
Careful around the ears.
An albino. The mosquito.
Me, me, me.
And we'll stop it right there. Tammy, for the win, do you know it?
No.
Just nothing? Nothing at all? Okay, all right, that's fine.
Oh, wait, you could have at least given her a halfy, no?
Well, I mean, you got to get the artist or the song to get a halfy.
I'm still here.
Nope, nope, I took the lifelines away, Audrey.
That was dumb.
You took my lifelines away. I'm screwed.
Okay, so, no, we have one more to go. We'll just take a L on that one. That was Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. I get, again.
Play us like 10 seconds of that again.
Sure.
Just,
What are you doing?
With the lights out.
Now I got it because he
said something about an albino. Yeah.
Okay, so Tammy, we're on to the last one. And I actually really wanted to get to this one, so I'm glad that we did. 3.1 million views. Miley Cyrus is doing the cover on this one.
And she is the best at classic rock covers.
She does do a really good job. Let's have a listen. That's 30 seconds right there. Tammy for the win. Do you know that one?
It's Led Zeppelin, but I can't think of the damn song.
All right, Audrey, help her out.
Black Dog.
There you go.
Dude, she should just do all Zeppelin covers.
Yeah. She is amazing. If you do not know Miley Cyrus and all of the covers that she's been doing over the last 2 years, you have got to deep dive, man. They are chef kiss amazing.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
To get that, please leave a message after the tone.
About the guys telling you you're good looking or whatever, my brother's gay, and I've spent a lot of time at gay clubs being his designated driver, and I've gotten a lot of compliments like that. I look at it this way. Women are always saying the good-looking ones are always gay or married. If a gay guy's telling you you look good, take it as a compliment.
I take anybody and everybody who thinks I'm attractive as a compliment. It does not. Like, shower me with words of affirmation, please.
I mean, here's the thing. I know that it's not universal, but I'll just speak from my personal experience. Some of my closest friends that I've known for a long time that are gay are incredibly judgmental and very vocal about it. You know, it's funny that the way that they present it, but if you get a compliment from them, you best bask in that glory, because that is high praise.
I love complimenting strangers, and I think that it might bite me in the butt one day.
Like because, the actual stranger?
Yeah, I could see a stranger biting your ass.
Get a rabies shot.
If I were to get bit anywhere, probably on the ass. I might
choose the
ass. Any limb, I don't want to get bit. Because even thigh area, I'm not. I feel like that would have some pretty serious repercussions.
You think that, but that's like where you get like if you pop a vein, bite too hard.
On your ass?
Yeah, man.
Are there a lot of veins going through the butt?
As you get older, varicose veins, they're like on your, not on like the butt cheek themselves, but I mean like on your thigh, like in your quads and stuff.
We're talking straight booty meat. Yeah, that's like right there, like cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's where I'd want to get bit.
But then you'd have to like lay down on your stomach to watch TV.
And then you just like prop your feet up.
Yeah.
And then you have your hands like in a V under your chin while you're watching.
Kicking your feet, swinging them in the back.
While you're watching Saved by the Bell.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You don't want to waste your money on vape products. They use a chemical in the burning process. You want real weed, dude.
Message deleted.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, who cares what people do? Like, it's their body, their choice. Like, if you want to vape, vape. If you want to do edibles, edibles. If you want to smoke old school weed, you do you. There's no wrong way to do it. Or if you don't want to do any of it, you don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of people who love the convenience of a vape. And also the other horrible things we're doing to our bodies. That's probably a drop of water in an ocean.
Yeah.
Right?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave and Mahoney. And don't forget Audrey. Just want a question for you, girl. Everybody, you've heard of Canada, right? I have never yet to hear the Tragically Hip.
Message deleted.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, man, we've heard of Canada.
It's fine.
We love your best export, Nickelback.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we've been doing this long enough now where I don't feel like I really get nervous, you know, before I go on stage or before I crack a mic. You know, it's been 25 years of, you know, being on the air and doing live events and stuff like that. You just kind of get over it, thankfully.
Go away a little bit sometimes, yeah.
But I will say I have to do something this evening that I am a little bit nervous about, and I think it has to do with the PTSD that I believe that we both suffered, Mahoney.
Got a little performance anxiety brewing?
A little bit. So I got asked to read in front of my kids' class evening, and... You know, I guess it's going to be more than one class, which I just found out. I thought it was just going to be my 3-year-old son's class.
Okay.
You know, he's in pre-K, and then I have a 5-year-old that also is in pre-K. She'll be in kindergarten next year, and I guess it's going to be multiple classes that I'll be reading to. And it's not so much the part about getting up and reading, but I did tell my wife, hey, if I could get that book in advance, so, you know, I can skim through it, make sure that I'm, you know...
Where to hit the high notes.
Right.
Because you've got
it's going to be a performance.
You have to. Reading a book to a classroom full of kids is a art form.
And your daughter, it would roast you.
She would call me out. If I mess up one word, I am torched.
Let me ask you this. Are you doing this in the capacity of, is this like a career week, or are you just doing this as your kid's dad?
Well, so I'm doing it as my kid's dad, but at the same time, you know, they know what I do for a living.
Okay.
And so because of that, I think they've asked, like, some people in the community, you know, like, whether it's a firefighter or somebody that the kids are going to be like, oh, that's cool. You know, local radio host.
We have the worst
cool
one. Like, firefighters come in, they look cool as hell. They got the trucks. They got the outfits.
The cops show up with the dogs and stuff. And then it's like,
just badasses.
I'm like, hey, do you listen to the radio in the morning?
Do you know what a radio is, children?
The reason why I'm nervous is because Mahoney and I did this, and this is a couple of years ago now, but we always, every year, like to participate in Reading Week because, you know, it's giving back and the kids are adorable and, you know, it's a sweet thing to do.
And my wife makes us do it because she's an elementary school principal.
That's the other part, is that we're kind of forced into it. But either way, you know, she asks us and it's always a quick yes. Of course,
absolutely,
we'll be happy to do it. But Mahoney and I have been scarred, and this is, again, several years ago. We walked into a room of kids that were about a little bit older, but about this kid's age.
It was kindergarten.
Yeah. So they're 5 and maybe 6-year-olds that are in this class. And Mahoney and I walked in, and they weren't quite ready for us yet, but they'd still put us in the room. And while the teacher was wrapping up whatever it was, and the teacher finished a few short moments later, and there was this sweet little girl who was, again, 5 or 6 years old that looks over at us, and she gets kind of excited because she knows that the guests are here. And she wants to tell the teacher that we have arrived in her own little sweet 6-year-old way. And so she turns to the teacher just as she was rounding out her lesson. And it seemed like one of those moments where everything just went quiet.
Mm.
And she goes...
The record screeches.
Everybody looks. She goes, Miss Johnson, there's 2 fat guys here to read.
Kids are so unforgiving.
To be fair to this young little girl, she was about... 2.5 feet tall, 3 feet tall.
Well, that's what I thought, too. I'm like, well, maybe she's just at gut level.
Right at our gut.
She's at gut level. Yeah,
all
just all belly.
Like, yeah.
And so, you know, I was a little self-conscious that day, and I was thinking, well, maybe I'm just having a fat day. And then they took a picture at the end after we finished up with the whole class, and I saw the picture, and I was like, no, that's just how I look every day.
Yeah, that child was very, very accurate, telling no lies.
Yeah. So... Look forward to it tonight, kids. One fat guy coming in to read.
Closing your rings.
You know.
You just need to show them your Apple, like your ring closures. Be like, yeah, I'm not that kid. Look at that. Look what I accomplished this month.
I'm going to get a liposuction before I read to my kids.
And you messed up, man. See, you benefit from me being around. You always look thinner when I'm standing next to you.
I know. It's like, you know, when you go out to the bar with a fat friend. Like, will you just, are you available this evening?
I'm busy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm busy.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz. Let's all play the movie quote quiz on Dave and Mahoney.
Chris joining us today for a round of the movie quote quiz. Now, last week we had a bit of a theme where it was all Tom Hanks movies. These movies today, all over the place. So the most current one, Chris, is from just over 20 years ago, and we'll even take it back to 40 years ago, if you get that deep into the movie quote quiz. So,
some classics.
Yeah, best of luck to you. The first one here is from 1995. Before we get going, do you have like a favorite genre of films, just so we have reference?
Just comedy, pretty much. Comedy action.
Okay. So there is not so much comedy, but more action in here today. But let's
so
have a
Jingle
listen.
All the Way with Arnold and Sinbad, your favorite comedy
no question.
Christmas action film. A genre we don't see nearly enough.
For Jingle sure. All the Way, my favorite.
Here we go. First one from 1995. Good luck.
Stay down. We want to hurt no one. We're here for the bank's money, not your money. Your money is insured by the federal government. You're not going to lose a dime. Think of your families. Don't risk your life. Don't try and be a hero. Right now, I want you to sit on the floor and put your hands on your head. Anybody feel sick? Anybody got heart trouble? Go ahead and lean against the wall. Give me the key.
What key?
Sit there. Sit there. Don't move. Let it bleed.
Great movie. Great movie.
Maybe the best heist movie of all time. A little hint there.
It's up there. Chris, do you know it?
Bobby De Niro. I think I'm going to say The Heat.
Yeah, Heat is correct. I mean, talk about an all-star cast. You had Robert De Niro and Al Pacino and Val Kilmer and Tom Sizemore and Ashley Judd and John Voight. I mean, Danny Trejo is in that movie.
To
what a cast.
To be fair, Dave, I don't know if we should give that to him because he said The Heat. That was a movie with Melissa McCarthy. That was just Heat with Al Pacino and Bobby.
I mean, he did know, you know.
I know. And I'm just being. I'm just showing you my range of movie knowledge with Melissa McCarthy and Sandra Bullock
making
starring
it about making it about you.
Got
it.
That's what I do. Okay, that's what I do. Thank you.
Very good.
You're on the board, Chris. Well done. Here we go on to number two. This is a classic from 2003, over 20 years ago now.
Now I can't. What? I can't even get an erection.
What's an erection?
I'll try to take a Viagra. You know, pop one, pop two. They're eating them like Skittles.
That poor man is pouring out his heart.
I'm still flaccid.
Okay. I'm comfortable talking to you.
It's got 5.1 Dolby.
About that, yes. But...
That's the clip that you went with from that movie?
The clip.
Okay. I don't even remember that scene really from that
movie. I don't either, but okay. I know the duo.
Well, let's see. Chris, can you figure that one out?
Is there a hint I can get for that one? Can I tag somebody in? I don't know. I'm not 100% certain on that one.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. One of the lead actors in it violently slapped Chris Rock at the Academy Awards.
All right, so Will Smith.
Uh-huh. It was a duo. It was from 2003.
It wasn't Focus, was it?
No, it was not Focus.
Is that Bad Boys 2?
That was Bad Boys 2. Yeah, it was Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, because the original Bad Boys came out in the 90s. Yeah.
Oh, it did? Yeah. Okay.
It's all right. I wouldn't have remembered that. I mean, I saw Bad Boys 2 a lot, but I remember the boner scene. Thanks, Chris. Here we go on to clip number three. Speaking of the 90s, this one takes us all the way back to 1990. Here we go.
You know, man, you were a total pain in the ass. Now, James, Lewis is going to be with us for the next couple of weeks. Accept this as fact. I want you guys to shake hands and stop behaving like children.
There are several sacred things in this world that you don't ever mess with. One of them happens to be another man's fries. Now you remember that, and you'll live a long and healthy life.
Before all the tiger blood, do you know it, Chris?
Pump the jam, pump it up.
Solid soundtrack.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, unfortunately, that's a... Bust.
Mahoney, you want to tag in on this one? Can you help out?
Is that Men at Work?
It is Men at Work. Well done.
Dude.
Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen are garbage men. Yeah. I think Emilio Estevez, it may have been his directorial debut, if I recall correctly.
Perhaps, yeah.
What?
All right, Chris, so you got saved there by Mahoney. You got to get this last one in order to win. This takes us back.
I was a big Emilio Estevez fan.
I was going to say, I've never even heard of that
Mighty
movie,
Ducks,
to be honest.
Yeah. Young Guns, and then Men at Work. I mean, it was, we were living in the Estefanins.
Oh, okay.
What?
The Estefanins.
The Estefanins.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. Thank you for the save, Dave.
It's an assist. It worked out. All right, so here we go. 40 years ago is when this movie came out in 1984. I think you'll get it. Let's go.
This is a mistake. I didn't do anything.
No, but you will. It's very important that you live.
This isn't true. How could that man just get up after you did?
He's not a man. Machine. Cyber-9 Systems Model 101.
Like a robot?
Not a robot. Cyborg. Cybernetic organism.
No, he was bleeding.
Just a second.
Okay. For the win, Chris, do you know it?
Terminator?
Yes, sir. 40 years ago now. When you're not watching it and just listening to it, that acting sounds horrendous.
Really bad.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we've talked a lot this week about the eclipse and how people, you know, kind of freaked out in some instances. We had that woman that was from Florida that started just randomly shooting at cars passing by because she claimed that God told her to do it. And then, of course, in Brooklyn, we had a number of people that all gathered to watch the eclipse together, but they did it while sitting on graves in a graveyard. You're like, what kind of what weird stuff
is going
on?
Bunch of weird stuff, but also some good stuff. I don't know if we saw all the memes that came from the eclipse. You know, you would see the eclipse, the moon go in front of the sun, and then it would reveal something. We saw like a Coors Light or some other funny images. My favorite one was, this is getting out of control, and it was the 10, 15, 20% tip menu that you see on the push button point of service kiosks. Yes. I was like, that's probably the winner for me. So a lot of stuff surrounding the eclipse, even, you know, several days after.
So this is a case of a woman who is very religious, and she thought for sure, probably because somebody on the TV box told her, that the world was actually going to end. So she was, you know, thinking wholeheartedly that Monday, that was it. The world is coming to an end. And so she wanted to go out in a very big way and really help people out, because this matters, again, if the world is ending. She tipped very generously. She left nearly $1,100 for the servers that served her just before the eclipse, because she thought they may not ascend to heaven during the rapture, and that she was going to say,
whenever we're talking about the way that people think that the world is ending and how, like, we don't understand why they're leaving behind money, it's because they believe that they're going to heaven and everyone else is going to be stuck here on Earth.
And so she's like,
the $1,000, they won't need it.
You have my $1,100.
They don't know the difference between the rapture and an eclipse.
No.
No, and the I guess there was something that was going around online, and somebody's probably going to fact check me here, but there was something that the dates were correlating with some, like, biblical context. Yes. So
people just make stuff up and post it online. Yes. How do you think we got QAnon?
So the rapture, shockingly, did not occur, and she actually, and here's the part that gets me, returned to the restaurant and accused the servers of fraud, demanding refunds for her tips.
That's not how that works, man.
That's not how that works.
So especially if you're outing yourself as thinking that the rapture was going to happen. It was like Armageddon. So, like, what? How do you explain that to the bank?
Well, so the servers were shocked by the woman's behavior and found it pretty ironic that she believed that she was duped despite her unwavering belief in the rapture.
And if you are a person who is, let's say the rapture happens and you ascend to the heavens, those aren't the type of people who can go and ask for their tip back, you dick.
And as somebody that worked in the service industry like we all did for a long time, I mean, the proper response here is, ma'am, you gave me $1,100 and I work at a Denny's. I spent it all last night.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that money is gone, girl.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669.
Please leave a message after the tone. Hey, there's no such thing as a dumb dog, just bad dog owners.
Message deleted.
Untrue. Yeah, I think it's kind of a mix. I mean, there's definitely bad dog owners that don't give their dog the best opportunity to be a smart dog
there's
and
dumb
a well-trained dog. But yeah, there's
dumb everything.
There's stupid dogs. Sure
there's dumb, literally dumb people, dumb birds, dumb dogs, dumb cats, dumb hippos.
Dumb hippos? You think there's dumb
hippos? Bugs? There's a spectrum of everything, and the way that works is that there are smart ones and there are dumb ones.
I love dumb dogs.
I love a dumb dog too, unless it's so dumb that it's doesn't realize that, like, eating my stuff is going to get him kicked out.
Oh, chewer.
Yeah. Do not chew on my stuff.
My marshmallow, you know what I'm talking about, the little pillow people things.
Yeah.
Elmo, my now 1-year-old puppy, chewed it to high heaven, and the squish has squashed.
Well, that's what you get
for the fuzz is all out everywhere,
having
man.
Having stuffed animals when you're 32, lady.
It was a bloodbath.
Uh-huh. This started in your new place, or was this going on in your old place, too?
So, to be fair, it just looks like a giant one of her babies is what we call them. She just has, like, the little stuffies all over the place, and it just looks like it's a gargantuan baby for her. So she just kind of like carried it around, and I thought it was so cute because it's like three times her size.
So you didn't correct it?
So I didn't correct it, and that's on me. And she murdered it. It was an absolute squash bat.
Like an ant carrying a leaf?
Exactly. She was so proud, just like dragging it all over the place. But yeah, dumb dogs, 10 out of 10.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Well, ordered on some DoorDash, got some hamburger fries and a drink and a damn shake. I got nothing but a shake. They charged me over $30. Had to call them, yell at them, got some money back, had to go to McDonald's. I thought I was going to end up on fast food freakouts. Are you kidding me? This is just getting insane.
Message
offering you some money back. These apps have the worst customer service.
I told you. That's why I
you
I
make Mahoney it. Quit DoorDash. Yeah. Like, you're doing something wrong,
dude.
Brother,
I was a super user. I probably spent $40,000 since the inception of DoorDash on there. Super user. I guarantee you I'm in the 0.0001%.
Yeah.
And I'm gone. And it's just the same thing with the rest, even just fast food in general.
Mm-hmm.
The prices, it's just insane. Like, I can't imagine. I'm just counting how much extra money I'm going to have.
Well, the only thing now that they're kind of offering is the convenience factor, whenever it was propped up basically on the fact that it was low cost and convenient, you know, fast food.
But it's
on the go
now.
And it's, and well, you're right, actually, the convenience factor, you're waiting. It's not really that fast anymore.
There's only a few certain things. I would say, like, you order a burger and fries from any place and it comes and it's lukewarm. The fries are cold and you're like, so I paid five times what I would normally pay for something that it's just like,
meh.
Eh. Yeah. And now I know what it's like for women to sleep with me. Same feeling. Sorry, ladies.
Okay, I just have to say it. Dave, you are a handsome man. I got to meet you on Monday, and I was wondering, you have a single brother that's older, maybe, wiser? The fact that you're from Minnesota, awesome. Cold nose, warm heart.
Message deleted.
I do have a single brother, but he is my youngest brother, and he is a bit of a eccentric free spirit, if you will. My wife did get a little upset with him. It's probably about a year and a half ago now that I think about it, because we were having a birthday party.
As you do.
For my daughter, who was turning four at the time. She's the five-year-old now. And, you know, this was kind of a regular occurrence. Whenever we'd have a birthday party at the house, he would always show up with a handle of vodka, which, you know, is pretty appropriate if you're showing up to a birthday party for me or you, Mahoney. But for the four-year-old's birthday party, you know, raise some eyebrows.
Turn up.
But if you're looking for a good time.
He's a funkle.
He is a funkle.
He's got freeloading, at least. At least he's bringing his own libations.
Sure. It was in a plastic bottle, though, so you know.
Dumbasses. You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
Americans that are nuttier than a payday.
I got me a dog.
It's the Redneck Report on Dave and Mahoney.
Okay, I know, you guys know, everyone hopefully knows that I'm not the one on the show that likes to victim blame, but this is kind of funny.
Boy, welcome to Dark Side.
What happened here, Dave?
So there is a gentleman by the name of Justin Tripp, and he is suing Walt Disney Parks after he was on a ferry at the Magic Kingdom, and I guess the ferry came into the dock a little bit faster than it was supposed to.
Came in hot.
It hit the dock, and Justin tripped, and he hit his head and then fell into a trash can.
Oh, man. That's one of those things where if I saw that in person, I would look away because I got secondhand embarrassment. I would pretend like I never saw it.
That's just start filming.
Like you're back in elementary or middle school again, and you get thrown headfirst into like one of those trash cans.
Like if you end up in a trash can as an adult, like, I'm sorry, but that's funny.
Little feet dangling out of it.
You get stuck in it. You're like, help.
That's how I die, because I'm too fat to get out, man. It's like you go in straight, you know, it's like, there's no pulling me out. You got to use the jaws of life to get this thing off me.
You know that everybody was witnessing that happening and hearing all of the cartoon-esque noises. Like,
I will say, though, in his defense, if there was a place where you were to get into a ferry accident and fall into a trash can, Disney is probably the place, because you know that Disney got that big money.
Oh, for sure.
I know, man.
I'm suing, too. I love Disney. I'm suing.
I can just imagine Daffy Duck over there trying to pull him out of this trash can.
Bro, that's Looney Tunes, man.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Mahoney, I don't know if you noticed yesterday that I was a little bit rattled. We had this meeting after the show, as we do. Mm-hmm. And then I walk out of the meeting and I get a text message. And you're standing next to me. And I don't know if I actually said it out loud or I just thought it in my head. But I went, oh, hell no.
I heard you say that, but I...
you got a lot of stuff going on, so yeah. I didn't think anything too much of it. So yesterday was the big day when my mother-in-law was finally leaving after four short weeks of hanging out with us. And yes, Chris, thank you for the round of applause in there. I saw you actually give me a little golf clap.
I'm happy for you.
Big moment. Yeah. The text message came from a neighbor. And keep in mind, I don't know exactly what time her flight is. My wife was going to take her to the airport. But I knew that it was around 12 o'clock, so that was right around the time when she would have been heading to the airport. Mm-hmm. Well, the text message from the neighbor is, hey, is this your mother-in-law's dog? And sure enough, it's that little idiot, Button. He has ran across the street, and he's in the park, and the text message from the neighbor is basically alerting me that the dog is out and on the lam. And so instantly I go, if this dog causes her
to miss her flight,
to not get on this plane today, I am going to freak out. They also were able to wrangle the dog and get it back in.
What is
in.
This dumb dog doing? Like, bro, you are like 5 pounds, 6 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, like a turkey vulture come along and pick you up.
You're a mini doodle. Like, you are the, you have no street smarts. You are an inside dog,
you're
man.
Bred for lap.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you are bred to quite literally do nothing other than be squeaky
you
and small.
You can get eaten by a street cat.
For real? So, I'm hoping that your mother-in-law, for your sanity, is gone? Question mark?
Yes, she got on the plane yesterday, and she is
with the dog?
Officially in the wind with Button.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm very, very happy to report that last night, for the first time in 4 weeks... Because my wife went out and she was doing some antique shopping like she does whatever.
Love that for her.
But it was I put the kids to bed last night and I was thinking about it. I'm like, for the first time in a month,
you get your spot back.
I'm in my house alone, essentially, right? Because the kids are asleep and this is the first time
some peace and quiet.
Some peace and quiet.
Don't have to entertain.
4 weeks.
Wait, what did you do?
Don't ask questions.
This is David Mahoney. When you're looking for love,
hey, baby, you want it?
Then all the wrong places.
You want to see what a mistake looks like?
It's the Missed Connection Inspection on Dave and Mahoney.
It's time for the Missed Connection Inspection. These people, they had a shot and they maybe didn't take it when they saw that person in public, or maybe they're just searching for anyone. And Mahoney, one thing that I love about the Missed Connection Inspection is that dudes and our horniness never dies.
It knows no bounds, Dave, like us in our rich friend's dad's basement many moons ago, surrounded by rich leathers and hardened woods. We put our hands on a stack of Playboys, penthouses, and hustlers and swore to help these freaks fly their flag and satiate their horniness.
Satiate.
It's easy for you to say.
This one is entitled Senior Citizens Get Together. This is a dude for anyone.
Hell yeah.
Hello, I'm an older guy, 72, hoping to find other seniors living in the Milan apartments that would like to get together a few mornings each week, perhaps coffee and kibitzing, or maybe some walking. I'm rather chubby. Okay, maybe 235 pounds. I'm more like obese and could use a bit of limited exercise. Hoping to hear back from some seniors at Milan.
I think this is more or less horny and more just I need a friend to walk with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Man. Like, unless you're doing some weird stuff while you're mall walking in the bathroom or something, but this just sounds like a nice guy.
I didn't know what kibitzing is. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a leisurely stroll. This one is, I miss you, babe. This is a man for a woman. I try and forget about you, and I can't. I wish the pain would go away. How can I love someone so much if you never loved me at all? Question mark.
Wouldn't it be easy not to love somebody who didn't love you at all?
I feel like, yeah.
I feel like that's way easier than, like, somebody who used to love you.
Correct.
And now no longer does. That's tough. But if they never loved you, what are you doing? Are you glutton for punishment?
This next one is, miss my fun couples. This is a male for couples. A few coupled-up friends used to love to be watched. Sometimes they ask to join, sometimes not. Watching and encouraging is amazing. Can film, too, discreetly, if requested. Care to be friends?
What are you, like, cheering? Is this a basketball game?
You're doing great.
Give you me got a B, pom-poms?
To the O, to the N. Just seems, like, unnecessary. Like, do you really need somebody, like, cheering you on in the corner while discreetly filming?
Mm-hmm.
Ew. And finally,
also, why is this footage so shaky?
Are you nodding in approval this whole time?
And finally, morning or afternoon, this is a man for a woman. Was able to get some help here before, so trying again. We'll be home alone tomorrow and could use someone to help me with my work. Again, morning or afternoon. That means I'm cheating, right?
Yes.
Right.
You can only come over when the significant other is at work.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
How do you really feel?
Tell us.
By calling the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail
at 833-YO-DUMMY.
YO-DUMMY. Please leave a message after the tone.
What's something you always spurred on?
Message deleted.
So, the list is long. But now, the one that comes to mind first for me is of things that I splurge on is parties for the kids, because my wife really likes doing that. She's actually very good at it. You know, but she'll ask for things. I mean, when I think back to my youth, I'm like, that would never, ever have happened. But, like, for my daughter's fourth birthday party, she wanted it Mario themed because the Mario movie had come out. They were all about it at the time. And so my wife found this impersonator of Bowser and Mario that would come over to the house and, like, delight the kids that were there. The problem is that it just doesn't always go great. You know, like, the Bowser was, like, visibly dirty. And then one time we hired a Santa Claus a few years ago. It was
I remember that one.
It was like a 2 o'clock in the afternoon thing, and Santa came over, and he's like, "Where should I park my Chevy Cavalier?" I'm like, "Well,
and
probably
he was
around
smoking." He had a cig hanging out of his mouth,
and he was like, obviously fairly drunk.
You hired bad Santa.
I thought that was a great hire. That was my favorite. That was my favorite Christmas party ever hosted.
But I splurge on that. I mean, that's the sort of
memories
thing
for children.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that.
Don't get those years back.
What about you, Audrey?
I would kind of say you jogged something there for me, Dave. Listening to you, I do splurge on others. Like, I mean, I splurge on myself as well. But, I mean, whenever it comes to big ticket items for myself, I don't really do that. Like, mine are more like, you know, $100 here, $100 there, and then the total adds up to like $1,000 in a day. But at the moment, it doesn't feel like a lot.
Right? I'm really spoiling myself.
But, you know, for other people, I go all out because I just feel like there is something in gift giving that brings me so much joy. But kind of a boring answer, but that would probably be mine.
So the thing that was told to me many years ago that always stuck with me, this is about 20 years ago, 20, 25 years ago that I was told this, that you always spend you never cheap out on things that go between you and the ground, be it your shoes, your car, tires, and your bed. Those three things I will always spend a stupid amount of money on, because you spend either A, all your day, you know, all your waking day hours on your feet or in your car driving, and your sleeping hours in your bed. Like, having a good night's rest and a mattress that you love is, like, worth every penny. Like, I don't tell people to go into debt. Go into debt over a good mattress.
But see,
find something you love.
I think you got to be really careful here, because if you're saying that you'll spend whatever money is necessary on the things that go between you and the ground, I feel like that's an argument that your wife could make about why she deserves that new purse.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.